What we need is to replace our fear with faith in God.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Our broadcast this evening will bring the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's message entitled The Impact of a Mother's Faith, which is the message delivered in the worship service this past Mother's Day at Germantown Christian Assembly. But as we mentioned last week, the truths uncovered from God's Word about the Gentile woman whose encounter with Jesus is the subject of Matthew 15 verses 21 through 28. A woman Jesus commended as a woman of great faith are truths that are in no way dated or gender specific. Anyone who is a person of little faith or a person of no faith especially needs to know what it takes to become a person of great faith. Thus, whether God has gifted you to be a mother or not, we trust that this message will be a blessing to all our radio listeners. Now, in the portion of this message aired last week, Pastor Grant started to draw for us from Christ's encounter with this woman a list of five facts about great faith. We heard how great faith is often found where we least expect it. We heard that great faith sees light in the thickest darkness. So now we invite you to listen with us as we pick up the message again where Pastor Grant begins with fact number three. Great faith believes God can do the impossible. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
Number three, great faith believes God can do the impossible. You see, great faith comes where you least expect it. Great faith sees sunlight at midnight, but great faith believes that God can do the impossible. Now, most of the miracles, almost every miracle that Jesus did, he did it for people who were right there. Did you ever notice that? He raised the dead. He didn't raise Lazarus from the distance. He came to where he was. He touched people's mouth. He touched their ears. He put stuff on their eyes. Most of the miracles that Jesus did, he did for people right there. But this mother came without her daughter. Amen. This mother, I hope we realize this. There is no excuse for our lack of faith because this lady had no background. This lady was a heathen from the section that hated the Jews. This lady didn't have your privilege and mine. She didn't have Christian radio. She didn't have all these tracks. She didn't have GCA to come and be fed. Are you understanding that faith, this great faith, is something that you must decide you are going to exercise? And this lady, without any training, her faith told her that Jesus could do the impossible, that Jesus could heal her daughter, although her daughter was not present. Do you believe Jesus can do the impossible? Do I have a witness today? Oh, so you really believe it? Are you going to trust him for what you're going through? Are you going to say, Lord, you know what I'm going through, but Lord, I'm trusting you because I'm glad I know a God who can do the impossible, that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I can ask or think. Is that your God? But there was something this lady had to learn. She came and she called Jesus Son of David. Did you see that in verse 22? She called him Son of David, but that was a title for Jews only. Only the Jews had the right to call Jesus the Son of David. So Jesus was silent because she was no Jew. She is going to have to acknowledge who she was. Do you know that some of us still want to play the religious card? But the religious card don't work with Jesus. You see, in Luke's Gospel chapter 18, the Bible tells the story of two men who came into the temple to pray. Many of us know that story. One was a religious Pharisee. He was highly respected. And the other guy was a despised tax collector. And the religious guy, he comes to Jesus and he said, God, I'm so glad I'm not like other people. God, I'm not like them sinners. In fact, God, I'm not even. He looked across and he saw the tax collector. He says, God, I'm not even like him, that tax collector. I am so glad I'm not like him. The poor little tax collector, he was so overwhelmed by his sense of guilt and shame that the Bible says he wouldn't even lift his head to heaven. He just smote his breast and he said, Lord, please be merciful to me, a sinner. Do you know I've met people in my time who are not saved because they've played the religious card? God, you know I'm not like them people. God, you know. Do you see the family I'm from? Do you see my background? Do you see my credentials? Lord, I saw the news, all these bad people running down in Center City. And God, I'm so glad I'm not like them. I'm pretty good. That religious card doesn't count with God. Faith begins when we recognize who we are with God. We have got to come to God acknowledging who we are and what God wants to hear from somebody. There's some young person or older person. Some of you may have been in church all your life, but there's somebody who this morning for the first time needs to say to God, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, when you say that prayer, you get God's attention. Amen. But fourth, great faith perseveres. Not preserves, but perseveres in trusting God. So here we are having Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 23. The Bible says, Jesus answered the lady not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Get the picture. Jesus and his disciples are walking on the road, and this lady is trying to get his attention, and she calls him Son of David. He doesn't respond. He's just walking along on the road, and she is following behind him, and she's loudly calling out for help. She's crying out for help. And after a while, the disciples, they get fed up, and they say, Lord, won't you tell her to shut up? I hope you realize that even folks who ought to know better, sometimes we mess up. So if we mess up, don't just throw us out. Some people leave the church because sometimes one of the leaders said something they ought not to have said. And rather than sit and deal with it, we just throw in the towel and we disappear. No. These disciples shouldn't have said that, but they had absolutely no empathy for this lady's situation. So she kept at it. Finally, Jesus stopped. And let's listen to what he told her in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 24. Finally, Jesus said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. By the way, part of what Jesus is doing, in case you're missing it, Jesus is bringing out something. Jesus sees something special in this lady, and he's working, this master surgeon. He's bringing out the very best in this lady, and he puts a roadblock up, and he says to her, listen, lady, I was sent on a mission, but sorry, honey, the mission is to the Jews. So did it discourage her? Do you think she was discouraged? Not on your life. She was not discouraged by the disciples' lack of empathy, nor by the words of Jesus. She had persistent faith. After baptism in his church, Bill Hybels bumped into a woman in the stairwell who was crying. And he thought it was odd because the baptism was so joyful. And so he asked her if she was okay. She said, no. She said, my mom was baptized today, and I'm crying because I almost gave up on her. She said, I prayed for her every day for almost 20 years. She said, at the 5-year mark, I felt God isn't listening. At the 10-year mark, I felt like I was wasting my breath. Last year, I said, this is absurd, but I kept praying even with weak faith. And she said, then mom gave her life to Christ and was baptized today. She says, I'll never doubt the power of prayer again. Somebody needed to hear that. You've been praying for 5 years. You've been praying for 10. You've been praying for 15. And God is saying to you that great faith perseveres in trusting God. Grab a hold of that. Great faith perseveres. It keeps at it. It sticks to trusting God. It never gives up. You all heard of Churchill's famous statement. He was called to give this speech before this graduation for these young people. And he gave what is regarded as one of his most powerful speeches ever. And it was a very simple speech. As he spoke to those graduates, Winston Churchill said, "Never, never, never give up."
We'd like to extend a special invitation to our Philadelphia area listeners to our annual Friends and Family Day on October 22nd. Join us at 10:45 a.m. for our morning worship service as Pastor Grant delivers a message entitled, Living a Fruitful Life. The service will be followed by a scrumptious dinner prepared by our culinary team. Dinner is free, but please call us at 215-242-5550 to make your reservation. Once again, that number is 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
And he went and took his seat. And that's what God is saying to somebody here this morning. Never give up. Keep praying, keep trusting, keep holding on to Jesus, amen? My God can do the impossible. Faith shows up where we least expect it. It sees light in the thickest darkness. It believes God can do the impossible. Great faith perseveres in trusting God. But finally, great faith realizes its lack of merit. Look with me at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, as we take a little time to work this thing through here. Then she came and worshiped Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Now, I don't want you to go home and tell somebody Jesus called this woman a dog. You say, "But Pastor, it's right there." I don't want you to go home and say Jesus called her a little dog. So let's try and understand what this passage is saying, because it has a profound statement that is beneficial to you and to me as we understand what great faith is. And I'm here to tell you that great faith realizes its lack of merit. Jews are often called Gentiles dogs. And when a Jew called a Gentile a dog, he was referring to the filthy dogs that ran on the streets and ate the garbage. Oh, you didn't know there were issues between Jews and Gentiles, did you? But the Greek word Jesus used is a different word. Jesus is using a Greek word which means a little pet dog. You say, "That's not much better." Well, yes, it is if you understand. Jesus is painting a picture. Stay with me now. Jesus is painting a picture of a family around the dinner table with a little pet dog under the table. He is making a point that is very important. He's letting this lady realize that God made a promise to the Jews. So as a Gentile, she has no right to sit at the table. Are you with me? She has no right to sit at the table. Jesus is trying to let her know that anything she received from him was not because she merited it. Now, some people have a hard time with the fact that God chose the Jews. And I've told you before, it doesn't bother me in the least. I am thankful to see how God chose the Jews and how he blesses them. Even when they mess up, he comes back and he keeps his promises to the Jews. Because you know what that means? He's going to keep his promises to me. He chose the Jews for an earthly blessing, but he has chosen the church for a what? A heavenly blessing. And the heavenly blessing is so much more superior to the earthly blessing. So I say, thank God for the example he gives us of his faithfulness to the Jews. Amen. This lady obviously wasn't upset by what Jesus said. So let me paraphrase her reply. Here's what she said. Did you see what she said? Here's the text says, yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Let me paraphrase. Jesus, it's true that we Gentiles don't get to sit at the table as part of the Jewish family. But God, Lord Jesus, even the dog gets to sit under the table and eat some of the crumbs. Oh, I wish you could see her face. Oh, I don't want you to miss this. This lady is literally saying, God, I believe you are so awesome. All I need is a crumb. Do you get it? She says, God, I don't deserve it. I'm not a part of the Jewish family, so I don't get to sit at the table. But God, just allow a crumb to fall to one of the dogs under the table. My friend, what faith? What does it take for God to solve your problem? What does it take for God to solve my problem? This God of the impossible. And this lady grasped it. This lady grasped the majesty and power and authority of God. And she says, all I need is a crumb. Can't I sit under the table and get a crumb? She deserved nothing, but she experienced grace. You see, sometimes we think we deserve stuff. Could we come before God today and admit to God, God, I don't deserve anything. Lord, I thank you for grace. So what was the impact of this mother's faith? Verse 28, then Jesus answered and said to her, oh, woman, listen. All Jesus heard was her say, can't I be under the table and get some crumbs? This was such a mind-blowing thought that this lady had so captured who he was. He said, oh woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. God granted the desire of her heart. God granted the desire of her heart. Her daughter was healed that very hour. This lady had experienced grace. What is grace? Grace is God's undeserved favor, and he's willing to pour out his grace on us today. And I'm here to tell you, no matter what you're going through, God's grace can meet all your needs. He tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you. Friend, God's grace is sufficient, and he is what? Rich in grace. But don't miss this. Don't miss this. This mom experienced God's grace because of faith. You will not experience the grace of God without faith. The journey of grace begins by faith, and it progresses by faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the question is, are you willing to put your faith in Jesus today? I close with a story I've told before, but a story that I think is so powerful. On September 14, 1860, a large crowd gathered on both sides of the Niagara Falls to watch Charles Blondin, a famous French tightrope walker, walk or attempt to cross the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. The tightrope was set up It was 160 feet. That's about 20 stories high. The tightrope was set up about 20 stories above the Niagara Falls. And some of us have been there and seen the swirling waters and the rocks. So Blondin is on this tightrope. It's 20 stories high. It is more than a quarter mile long. Did you hear what I'm saying? It's more than a quarter mile long, and it runs all the way from the American side of the Niagara Falls to the Canadian side. And by the way, this is a true story. And Blondin is here, and he is going to cross. The crowds are hushed because Blondin has no safety net. But inch by inch, Blondin makes his way across that tightrope. And after he arrived safely, he received thunderous applause. And just to show that was nothing, he just increased the ante. He went backwards on the tightrope. He did all sort of stuff on the tightrope. I read that he actually took a stove on the tightrope, carried instruments to get a fire going, and cooked an omelet. As to how he did that, I don't know. So then Blondin, at one point, Blondin pushes a wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls. And then Blondin gets a heavy weight, 250 pounds or whatever, and he puts it in the wheelbarrow. And he goes across the tightrope, and he just shows how powerful and how much skill he has. He was good. I'd have been scared to watch him. I hate to watch them when there's no safety in it. I just don't want to see them splatter. Eventually, Blondin turned to the crowd, and he said, "Do you believe I can push somebody across the Niagara Falls?" "Of course he can." The crowd shouted, "Yes, we believe. Of course you can. You are the greatest tightrope walker in the world. You can do it." So Blondin said, who would like to step in my wheelbarrow? Who wants to come in the wheelbarrow?" All these people are shouting, "You can do it." They believed in the abstract. They believed it was possible. But they didn't believe enough to make a commitment. There are people all around this room who believe that God can do the impossible. But you believe in the abstract. You believe God can. But you don't believe he'll do it for you. Oh, you immediately start saying, "Pastor, do you know what my circumstances are? How could God solve my circumstances?" But you just told me he can do the impossible. Do you believe it or not? We tend to believe in the abstract as to what God can do. And God is talking to somebody here this morning. It may be the person that we least expect to exercise great faith. Yes, you might be the one that nobody here expects to be. You see, in our story, nobody expected her to be the one. But you could be the one. God is coming to your house. He has come to your door. And he says, "Would you put your faith in me? Would you put everything you have in my wheelbarrow? Will you entrust your whole life to me? Will you entrust your circumstances to me? Will you trust me?" The journey of grace begins by faith.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.